From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Late Saturday night, the Illinois General Assembly finished its most important work of the year, passing a budget. The plan is said to include some cuts to programs and about $800 million in new revenue, including higher taxes on things like tobacco products and sports betting. But the bigger story out of this spring session may be all the big issues left unresolved, such as how to fix the looming fiscal problems of Chicago-area mass transit agencies, and whether those of us in downstate should have to help pay for that. Or there was legislation that environmental groups say was important to keep rates down and help Illinois meet its carbon-free energy goals. And a number of Governor J.B. Pritzker's proposals, such as banning cell phones from schools during class time or enabling community colleges to offer bachelor's degrees in certain fields, those didn't pass either. We'll be talking through all this and more for the hour today. If you have a question or comment about state government, you can join us at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Joining me first today is Don Harmon, president of the Illinois State Senate. He's a Democrat from Oak Park. President Harmon, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Great to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
So big picture, how do you assess what the legislature accomplished this spring session?
Well, at the beginning of a legislative session, I have two goals. One, to make sure that members of the Senate have the opportunity to advance the legislative measures important to them and to the districts they represent. And two, perhaps more importantly, to pass another responsible, balanced budget. And this year we passed a good budget in what will inevitably be a bad year. I would note that this is the longest sustained period of responsible budgeting in my lifetime. I'm very proud of that work, the partnership with Governor Pritzker and Speaker Welch. I really think we've turned the corner in Illinois on putting our fiscal house in order.
Well, at the start of this year's budget process, Governor Pritzker said some hard choices would have to be made. What were some of those hard choices?
Well, the budget we eventually approved looks very much like the budget the governor introduced. He challenged us if we wanted to make changes to make sure we could stay within the four corners of his budget proposal. It did require us to take hard votes on how do we make sure we continue to invest in our public education system? How do we make sure we have resources available for healthcare providers, especially given all of the horrible uncertainty coming out of Washington, D.C.? So it required us to rearrange some of the revenue streams. But in the end, we put together a responsible, balanced budget that is consistent with our values, although still disappointing that we are having to wrestle with all of this uncertainty and hostility coming from Washington.
And I definitely want to get into that. But where specifically are some of the cuts that were done this time around?
A lot of the cuts came from administrative efficiencies. We worked with the governor's office to trim about $250 million out of line items for administration. We had to delay the implementation of some programs that were important. But in the end, again, we needed to live within our means.
What is driving this need for $800 million in new revenue items?
To pay for the things that are a core part of our budget. Remember, we have a commitment every year to increase funding for preschool through high school education. That's $300 million right out of the gate we need to find. We did not kick the can down the road on our pension obligations. That's about a $500 million increase from the prior year. So right there, you're at $800 million.
And how do you decide what to put in that mix? You know, why sports betting and tobacco products and not other areas, for example?
Well, the governor was very clear and we concurred. We did not want to raise taxes on working families. The governor ruled out from the get-go an increase in the individual income tax. Or in the state sales tax. Taxing gambling and cigarettes is a little easier. Those are choices people make. And with tobacco taxes in particular, if people decide to stop smoking, that benefits our budget as well because it reduces our healthcare costs.
This morning in Cranes, Greg Hines writes that lawmakers are, quote, dangling the possibility of even bigger tax hikes on business and consumers to come, end quote. What do you make of that characterization?
I haven't read Greg's piece. He's a talented writer, but I don't know that he's connected with the realities that we're connected with. If Donald Trump forces, say, $1 billion in SNAP benefits on the state, the program that pays for food for hungry families, we will have to come back to the table to figure out what to do, not because of anything we're dangling, but because of the incredible insensitivity coming out of Washington.
Well, yeah. So talk about that then. How do you respond to criticism that maybe Democrats should have done even more in this budget to sort of anticipate perhaps some of these cuts that lawmakers are contemplating in the Congress in Washington?
Well, even with the U.S. House having taken some action, I still think it's impossible to predict the unpredictable. We passed a responsible, balanced budget with the facts that we have now and a good faith belief. If something changes in Washington, if the Senate ratifies some of this lunacy, the U.S. Senate, we're prepared to come back when the world requires us to come back.
One of the most unpopular groups in America these days seem to be the tech titans, right? The people who run these large social media companies. And there was a digital advertising tax idea that came up pretty late in the session, at least the public facing awareness of it. Talk about that and why it was added and why ultimately it didn't pass.
It was an idea that had been floating around for several months in Springfield. It's a huge economic activity, and it is untaxed. We always look for ways that the economy is changing, and where traditionally taxed activities are no longer taxed because they've transformed their characterization, if you will. So there are a lot of members who think that the tech titans, as you describe them, should pay their fair share of taxes, and they're not paying much taxes on those activities right now. So I think progressive-minded legislators in both the House and the Senate wanted to include that. The Senate tried, but in the end, the moderating voices in the building determined that we would not be able to pass the revenue bill if that were included.
There was some reporting that some of these, again, I'll use the phrase tech titans or tech moguls, billionaires, delivered a threat that they might get very involved in campaigns here. What is your understanding of that?
I'm not concerned about the bluster. We're going to do what's right for the people of Illinois.
All right, let's talk about, and let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with Illinois Senate President Don Harmon, Democrat from Oak Park, about the just ended spring legislative session of the Illinois General Assembly. One of the big talking area or points of concern, I should say, this session has been transit funding, particularly the Chicago area mass transit agencies are said to be facing a fiscal cliff pretty soon. Why did that legislate? And I should say there was legislation. It did pass the Senate. It failed in the House. What is your understanding of why that ultimately didn't make it across the finish line?
Well, obviously, it's a very difficult issue and requires tough choices. The Senate took action to approve a package. And I think in doing so, we established three principles. First, a robust public transportation system is essential to the economic vitality of the state. The entire state, not just the Chicagoland area. Number two, we have seized the opportunity to push for long-needed, rider-focused reforms to build the transit system for the 21st century, to make people enthused about riding public transportation again, not dreading it. And three, we reminded people that this is expensive and we have to pay for it. So if you don't like the package of resources the Senate put together, and frankly, I don't much care for it either. But if you don't like it, what do you propose? We put together the best ideas we could muster the support for. Frankly, far too many stakeholders in this conversation were more concerned with protecting or expanding their own power and trying to make somebody else pay for it. If you don't like what we put forward, come forward and tell us how you would pay for it.
Well, what you did put forward was a $1.50 fee on most deliveries. There are some exceptions for groceries, pharmaceuticals. 80% of that money would have gone to Chicago area mass transit agencies, 20% for downstate, where, frankly, most of our listeners are today. How do you justify asking retail delivery customers across Illinois to pay a fee that, you know, will primarily benefit the Chicago area?
First, I would dispute that characterization. If you look at anywhere in Illinois, I may have two or three Amazon trucks on my block at any given time. The economy has transformed, and that's an awful lot of cars, trucks on the road, and that's part of our larger transportation system. I think the environmental impact fee that we proposed addresses that change. Number two, $225 to $250 million is going to downstate mass transportation systems, public transportation systems, about twice what they asked for. And that's good because it will give us an opportunity to expand public transportation in downstate to reach people who aren't served by it now. But three, I recognize the longstanding political tension between the Chicago area and the rest of Illinois. But two-thirds, three-quarters of the population lives in the extended Chicagoland area. And I'd say that the delivery fees are going to be driven proportionate to the distribution of the funds.
What happens next for transit funding, given the, again, the fiscal cliff, or call it what you will, facing those agencies?
The Senate took action. We put forward a proposal. We were hoping that our action would spur the House to take action. Obviously, they weren't able to do so before the end of May. That doesn't mean we can't come back, and we'll come back when we need to. But I hope that we have transformed the conversation and pushed this a little closer to reality.
Another big area of interest this spring was the possibility of an energy bill. Environmental groups have been pushing this for a long time. What went wrong with that?
Illinois has been blessed, and it's been a huge competitive advantage for us to have a reliable, affordable power network. But that's being challenged by the incredible increase in demand for electricity, not just data centers and artificial intelligence. Our economy consumes much more energy than we used to. And so that's going to require an investment in more transmission lines to get the power to where it needs to be, more power generation that doesn't pollute our environment, whether that be wind, solar, geothermal, or a new generation of nuclear technology. And most disappointing for me, we didn't have a chance to advance battery technology in this session. I think that's critical to building up a reliable grid. If we can generate power when we don't need it and store it for when we do need it, it's going to make our system so much more resilient. In the end, people want to see a light come on when they flip the switch, and they don't want to have a heart attack when their monthly bill arrives. We're in a position right now where, because of some of the Wall Street folks who are driving this, we're going to see big increases in bills, especially in central and southern Illinois and the Ameren territory, based on the multi-state capacity issues that are being generated out east. So we wanted to find ways to protect people from that. But in the end, again, all of these investments in our system are going to cost some money. So we're trying to figure out how to respond to that anticipated spike. And we just couldn't keep the Christmas tree standing this year.
Well, as we mentioned, we're coming to the end of our time together. And as we mentioned earlier, a lot of the uncertainty is driven by what's happening and the uncertainty out of Washington. How do you anticipate the Trump administration's policies affecting Illinois state government, particularly going forward?
Well, we clearly have a target on our back. The administration doesn't like Illinois and the decisions that we've made about protecting the people who live here. It worries me, but I'm proud of us for standing up and doing the right thing. I think it will inevitably, whether they are entirely successful or only modestly successful, require us to make some hard decisions. We had to make hard decisions in this budget about programs that we know will be targeted and will cause us to lose other resources. I just don't understand a government that wants to cut $1 billion for people who need food on their table. It's mean and petty and not very Christian. So I don't understand what they're up to.
Food assistance, Medicaid is another huge concern. One in four Illinoisans on are on the Medicaid program, and some significant number of those are in this group of from the Affordable Care Act expansion. Can Illinois possibly afford to hold harmless people who would be affected by these cuts out of D.C.?
These are multi-billion dollar cuts. And contrary to popular opinion, they are going to hurt primarily poor white people in districts that voted for Donald Trump. So I'm hoping some sanity will prevail in Washington and they won't punish their own supporters because they can punish people they don't like and at the same time. It doesn't make any sense to me. I hope some sanity will prevail.
Last question, just about 20 seconds left. What do you see as the most important work outstanding still for Illinois lawmakers between now and the end of the year?
The public transportation conversation is one that we need to conclude. This is a real cliff. It's a real crisis. Buses and trains are going to stop. People are going to be laid off. And people won't be able to get to work or get to the doctor unless we figure out a solution.
Senate President Don Harmon, thank you for being with us and sharing your views today on the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me back.
Coming up after the break, Illinois House Republican leader Tony McCombie. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.